It's Tuesday, 11th of November 2014. This is HPR episode 1637 entitled, Communities Are Made of People. It is hosted by 5150 and is about 47 minutes long. Feedback can be sent to 5050@linuxbasement.com or by leaving a comment on this episode. The summary is, Zuckerberg, Facebook, friends having you back.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Howdy folks, this is 5150 for Hacker Public Radio, and I've chosen as my topic for this episode, Communities Are Made of People. And before I get to that rather, I think, seemingly obvious and perhaps even profound statement, I want to digress. I usually go off and digress at the end of the episode, or maybe in the middle, or something like that. Well, you guys have heard me. I'm always digressing and coming back. But, I usually save the weird stuff for the end. But I was just editing my last submission. I think it will be HPR 1630, the second in my beer series, 5150 Shades of Beer. And I know some, I said in that one, because the way Audacity seems to be working on this computer, I'm not going to go back and edit, you know, change things, try to insert stuff. So this is the best I can do as far as correcting things, because I made some rather glaring mistakes. First off, the fire, and we're going to talk about the fire some this episode. That was the last weekend in July, not the last weekend in June. They both start with J. It's practically the same thing. Yeah. I said it twice, even. Okay. And then I said I was going to tell you this funny story, and I never did the punchline. You may have thought the punchline was that I had no radical disfigurement in my face, as funny as that is. But no, let me set up this joke again, or experience, I guess. But yeah, I said, okay, the first 3-4 weeks after the fire, you know, I couldn't hardly buckle my pants or do a belt because my thumbs, you know, were incredibly sore. So I got some shorts from Walmart and some suspenders to hold them up and at least a couple pairs of white polo shirts to go with. I mean, we had other polo shirts, but a couple of them were white. And they're all polo shirts to go with it. And then I had this white goop on my face that some people might have thought was makeup, you know, burn cream. And I told a couple of my friends, you know, my brothers and only friends, that somebody had just tossed me a walking stick in a bowler, I could have auditioned for the road company of A Clockwork Orange. That's the joke. A couple people thought about it, thought it was funny. You take an hour and think about it. I bet you think it was funny. I should have got a picture. The picture would have made the joke. But I didn't. You know, cause it was like, I had this stuff on my face, and then every time I answered a phone call, my cell phone got greasy, then I had to go clean it off. It's gallows humor, you know, last weekend at the party, which is outside the beer fest. You know, we had a couple you know, bonfires, control bonfires, you know, or fire pits, rather, not bonfires, fire pits. Oh, my friend, you know, one was just this steel thing and they threw wood in, you know, out in the middle of the yard. But the other one, you know, back in his deck, well, not the deck, because it's off on, in the stone part. In fact, I guess, yeah, he's got a wood part of the deck, and then he's got stone and the you know, swimming pool just covered this time. He's, you know, it's down the stone part. And I don't know. Maybe he wouldn't want me giving this away, but it was cool. You know, he's got like this thing he invented where it's got this big rock, like a big granite thing in the middle, and it's drilled so water comes out of it all the time. And then it's got a grate around it and rocks hiding the, you know, little stones hiding the grate. And he's got propane jets and he can turn it on. So it's just like this fire coming up around with this, you know, big rock that's got water coming out of it in the center. That, you know, that was one of the, he's really artistic that way. Eric. And, now he's going to be mad because everybody's going to have one. But no, you know, it was cool. And so some of us were sitting around that one and some of us were sitting around the, you know, the wood fire pit, and we go back and forth. We tell the stories and all that. But a few people had imbibed a little, as you might imagine. Some of them were a little close to the fire, and you know, I was making a little gallows humor joke, you know, watch out because being on fire is not as much fun as it sounds. Okay. And there was another one that I did in the last episode I posted that at the time I thought wasn't a showstopper as much as those other two. When I listen to that episode again when it's aired, I'll find it again. Maybe on a future episode, I'll say, yeah, this was that other thing that I screwed up. And I want to make myself clear on. So that's that. Oh man, on the beer. I don't know if I'm going to be doing any more beer podcasts because I told you I was not going to review the beers we had at the, Oktoberfest that my friend threw. And I wasn't going to review the ones that I brought home with me. You know, there's just some random. This is one I missed. It is New Holland Brewing Company. And I assume this is not the New Holland that makes the Hay Balers that I'm familiar with. It is Dragon's Milk Bourbon Barrel Stout High Gravity Series. I mean, high gravity means lots of alcohol. This is 11-point beer. This is some killer beer. This will knock you all around the room. Unfortunately, I only have the one. In my adventures in Wichita, I brought home some New Holland, but it was their Poet. It's not bad. It's not bad at all, but this is like stop your search. This is now my favorite beer of all time. I did not say that lightly. Do not say that lightly, because my favorite one is one that's no longer brewed in this country, Mackeson Triple Stout. It was another milk stout, also made. Well, this one, I don't know if it's made with cocoa, but the Mackeson's made with malts from cocoa. And, oh my goodness, I love that beer. And it was not successful, so, you know, they're not importing it, but they were, you know, somebody had a license to brew it on this side of the pond. And one of the possessions I lost in my fire was a little Mackeson sign that would normally sit like on the bar, just a little, you know, about 6 inches long. Not a big beer sign. I had it hanging over a mirror. But man, you know, this, let's see, let me read you the description. Roasty malt character, and you know I love malt, intermingled with deep vanilla notes, tones, all dancing in an oak bath. Pairings red meat, smoked foods, balsamic, rich cheese, and well, this one I agree with, dark chocolate. Oh, man. Yeah, this, you know, I say pair it with anything. You know, you have this beer, you don't need to eat nothing. So, this is New Holland Dragon's Milk. Man, if I cannot convince my buddy Danny to carry this, I may just have to drive to Wichita and load up the dang van on this. Man, I can't believe I missed this. This must be something they didn't carry those couple places I went. I said, I've had Poet from this company, and it was good. It wasn't a show-stopping good beer, but it wasn't bad. But man, this, you know, it's like, I'm sorry, folks, but this is like Look No Farther. And if you want to know if to take my recommendation on the beer reviews, you know, get you some of the New Holland Dragon's Milk, and if you hate it, then turn everything I say on my beer reviews 180 degrees, and you'll probably you'll probably do pretty good with those. Okay, I guess let's get to the topic. I've made my views on Facebook, you know, known for quite some time. I'm not a big Facebook fan. And maybe I had a mischaracterization of exactly what it was, but, you know, my impression was of Facebook was people posting pictures of their baby spitting up, you know, or something. You know, something that, why do I want to know about your, even if I know your family, why do I want to know about your family in that much detail? You know, can't you just keep that stuff away from me and to yourself? And, you know, but I felt obligated. I don't want to make anybody feel guilty, but I mean, you know, I had the fire. And, you know, the second day, first full day, I guess, but even, I was in there one day. No, maybe it was the first day, because it was only really 2 days I was in the hospital. But towards the end of that first day, well, at the end, after lunch, you know, here standing in my room, and, I'd just seen him a few months before at the reunion, but it took a second, and it's my friend Scott from grade school and high school. We were like, you know, inseparable in grade school. High school was, we weren't as close, but, you know, man, hung out every second together, seemed like in grade school. And, here was in my room, asked me what I need. Could he go to the store, get me anything? And I've relayed this on other podcasts, not here on HPR yet, but I mean, I was kind of a spot in the hospital that they took me to. For one thing, they wouldn't let me make long distance calls out. And that's just hospital policy. You make local calls, but you can't make long distance calls. Well, of course, I'm 70 miles away from my family, my father's in no position. He can't come get me. He can't drive. Even if they'd let him out, you know, he was in the hospital too, though with nothing serious. I mean, nothing to do with the fire. I've said that before, but maybe not on this, in this podcast, you know, on this channel on HPR. You know, he had chronic problems with, stuff on his backside. So they kept him, you know, cause he just sits in one position all the time, or used to. I think we've solved that, but you know, that was enough excuse to get him admitted to the hospital. Like I said, I think that I want to thank some folks because in the medical community, because I'm not sure if that was really something they did, or, you know, obviously they knew I was in a hospital someplace else and had no means to take care of him. We had no home then at that time. Somebody may, I guess, I don't know if they made a decision. Okay, let's admit him, you know, and we solve that. And then, you know, once he's been admitted to the hospital, every time he's been admitted to the hospital since he's been on Medicare, then he's, automatically been admitted to the recovery center after, because they figure, well, you've lost, muscle, you know, you've been laying in a bed for days, so you need physical therapy to, get you back to where you were. So, you know, I'm glad somebody did that. I don't know if it was, made that decision for us. But, you know, he wasn't where he could get phone calls. And, you know, and I lost my cell phone, so I had nobody, you know, in the fire. It was in the house. So I had nobody's number. So, you know, mobile number, home number, whatever. So, you know, but the social services feller, he came in. Oh, that's something I need to remember. I keep forgetting that. I hope I still have the guy's name, because I keep meaning to email the guy's boss and tell him how helpful he was. That shows how, you know, grateful I am. And I meant when I got out to, like, send flowers to the nurses in the burn unit. I should still do that. But, show some sort of gratitude. But, now, I'm giving a list of people to try to look up and contact and say, have them, you know, call me, because I can't call them. And of course, you know, maybe something got lost in the translation, because the next day I got two or three new messages. So-and-so called, call them back. I couldn't do that because they won't let me make long-distance calls. So then, you know, first ray of hope, Scott shows up and says, well, can we go to the store? Can we get you clothes? You know, because what clothes I had were, you know, they took away and threw them away. They were that bad. Sweatpants and a t-shirt, you know, is what I got out of the house in. And Dad was much better. But so, you know, he got me stuff, and he, you know, he actually drove me home when they released me. So that was fortunate. So I didn't have to come back from Pratt and get me. So I think he was going that way. I mean, I guess it doesn't make that much difference if you go from Pratt to Wichita or Wichita to Pratt and back. It's the same trip. But, and he and his wife were very helpful. They came out the next week and actually dropped off some stuff for me and asked again if there was anything what I needed. And then, you know, the next day, a couple of my fraternity brothers showed up. And, you know, took me a second. It's like, oh my God, it's Dal. You know, I haven't seen Dal in 30 years, 20 years. Well, we hung out together some after college, but yeah, it's gotta be 20 years. You know, and we've been talking to each other on Facebook some. And then my other friend, from college, Eric, Eric's the guy, I mentioned Eric, he's the guy last weekend I went to his house and for the beer fest, that was great. It was really nice of him and Renee. I also knew in college. She was his girlfriend in college. So, I knew the both of them. And, you know, so it's like, I got all this help. And all this happened because of, one of my high school classmates in town also happens to be the cousin of one of my fraternity brothers, and put it on Facebook and tied it to, my Pratt High School class reunion page. And, you know, Don's in the hospital. He's in trouble. He needs stuff. He needs help. And so the word got around to both my high school and grade school friends and, my college friends, my fraternity brothers. So, you know, I kind of felt like, even though I have this huge, huge, and still huge amount of animosity towards Facebook and Zuckerberg and all associated, you know, it seemed to me to be rather selfish to maintain this no Facebook policy. And let me explain that. You know, it's going to sound elitist, especially for me, because I'm no big web developer. You know, my web skills are limited to some of the GUI designs. You know, GUI development programs, and I have no skills with anything in the background of web design, like CSS or Java or Ruby or anything like that. In fact, When I was thinking about what I wanted to say on this podcast, I mean, I was, that would be a great series. And I mean, actually, that could be a separate channel from HBR, you know. If somebody's out there, if you could do like a, so you want to be a web developer series, you know, start with CSS and build up to some of the application languages and all that. Of course, the trouble with that is you got to be sitting there at the computer to follow that. You know, when Chad used to do his, the Drupal stuff, you know, it was like, man, that's fascinating, but I'm never going to learn anything from that. In, you know, while I'm listening to it riding around on a tractor or whatever, I have got to be sitting at a computer with Drupal up and running to learn anything from that. And it's, you know, and Klaatu is like his own podcast. He's been doing some stuff in Python, you know, and it's like, he did it real simple, you know. I'm following a lot of it, but yeah, it's I'm not going to retain it until I go back and sit down with and type it into an editor where I can understand what I'm doing. So, but yeah, not enough for me telling people what podcast they ought to be doing, but I don't know all that stuff, and I'm hypocritical because my whole kick against Facebook was, you know, it was giving people who had no web development skills a platform online, and they were using, you know, they weren't using it for anything I thought was in it, using it to post pictures of, you know, again, here, look what my kid did today. And, you know, now that I'm on it, it's not all that. And of course, I immediately started following some of my, tech friends from podcasting. See, that was another thing that I thought was incredible, because, you know, I didn't have, you may have heard me talk, I didn't really have, internet in the house for a while. It was my own fault. I just wasn't setting the laptop in the right place. You know, the little house that we, on the same property where the big house burned, and, you know, we rent small house to another fraternity brother of mine, and he was nice enough to let me stay with him while Dad was in the hospital. Or not hospital, but hospital and then the recovery center. You know, and I've been there sleeping on his couch until the last couple of weeks. Cause they finally said, well, you know, they're telling me when I need to make arrangements to bring Dad home. You know, right now we're in the rental property that I arranged for the time being until we get a new house built. If you've seen my pictures on Facebook, there again, and G Plus, you know, I've shown pictures of where we staked out the house to be built into the side of the hill above our lake up in the pasture. It's not very far from where my great grandparents built the sod house when they originally homesteaded that property. You know, where my dad's always lived is actually like the third homestead almost, that my family's had since they came to Kansas in, 1879. All within a few miles of each other, of course. But, here I'm digressing again. You know, but, you know, there's a lot more interesting. Oh, I was going to talk about why the first people I added to follow, was it following on Facebook or liking on Facebook or, added friend request, are folks, see, I was doing it on my phone. You know, I did Facebook on my phone originally. And of course, when I set up the phone to have the, the App Store, the Play Store, you know, I had to put in my Google account, and my Google account as me, the name that's on my birth certificate. See, when Heartbleed came through, I changed all my account passwords, and I put them in a file because I didn't, you know, that I'd had these passwords for years and known them, but new passwords, I put them in a file and copied the file to my server. And so I got the phone and, you know, put in the Google account that's me is the name that's on my birth certificate, and, you know, the password didn't work. So I screwed that up somehow. So, and knowing I didn't have a whole lot of time to mess with things, so I put in instead the 5150 at Linux Basement Google account, and then I tied that to my PayPal, you know, under my actual name. So I guess the NSA knows exactly who I am if they didn't know before. But and then so I you know, went to the Facebook app and created myself a presence on Facebook, and all of a sudden, you know, since it was tied to my 5150 account, you know, all of a sudden, I saw all my podcasting friends come up and say, well, you know this person, you know, do a friend request. And so I started click, 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 and after about 20 or 30 of them, I thought, wait a minute, they don't know me by the name I'm using under his Facebook. They have no idea who this person is once to friend them. And except for two or three, TJ knows, Justin knows, few of the others, and more that didn't know now. They figured it out, I'm sure. You know, they only have so many friends that caught themselves on fire. So for the rest, you know, almost everybody, I think maybe even everybody who I, you know, clicked on, did a friend request that for, you know, that first day, and I haven't got around to anybody because I got to that point that, oh, wait a minute, they don't know who I am. So the rest of you don't feel slighted in the podcasting community. It's just that I stopped at that point. Well, wait a minute. You know, just about everybody refriended me on that. So, you know, I have to say, you know, I can't really go in and say Facebook's this bad, evil, dark place like I always thought it was, because immediately everybody wanted to be my friend. And then, of course, I start putting in people, you know, local friends, and that filled up pretty quick, you know. And once you start putting in some of your college and high school friends and whatever, then you see links to everybody else. And so clickety, 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 and then everybody friends you back. And, you know, and I've had this huge, huge support community. You know, I want to pick some people out. My friend Sue from high school, so I saw her in Walmart. This was like the second day I was home. Well, yeah, the first day, I've mentioned this, you know, that they had me come into the hospital, get my wounds on my arms redressed, you know, because I was blistered second degree all up and down both arms and first degree on my face. So, you know, in the hospital, they said, yeah, you really gotta clean that really, really hard before you go into the hospital. And since I was driving, well, the first day, Scott, when he drove me home, I'd already called ahead, you know, and, you know, my keys for all the vehicles burned up in the fire too. You know, I didn't have anything I could drive. And, so one of my friends, Darren, he and his family purchased a new key for Dad's Chevy transport van. And then, I guess that they had to drag it with a wrecker into the Chevy dealership, because they couldn't just come out and cut a new key or whatever. It was all electronic and all that. And so, you know, I arranged for that to get done. And, you know, well, it's kind of a surprise to me when they released me from the hospital. I think that had to do something with, I didn't have with me a insurance card. And, so they had me down in the hospital, you know, a self-pay or whatever. So they get him out a year before. He costs us too much money because he's a bum. No, I have insurance. You know, and you know, you know, I told him that. In fact, it wasn't too hard to get it. You know, I said, well, you know, do you need my social security number to get the insurance? You know, but no, they just need my name, and then they had the insurance. But that didn't get through to the business office. I was trying to make multiple calls. The business office wouldn't call me back. So I'm going to be checking out of here, and I want to make sure you guys know what my insurance information is before I do. And the social worker was working on that. I think that finally got through to him. But the decision's already been made to kick him out of here after 2 days, you know. Because some people said, oh, you're going to be in here 2 weeks. And some said it's going to, you know, it's going to be 3 or 4 days. So, you know, it kind of shocked me. Got up that second day. Oh, can you get a ride home? You're leaving. You know, and Scott showed back up. So he said, Scott, can you do me a solid and drive me home to Pratt? And he said, oh, yeah, sure. You know, among all the other stuff that he already did. And so that was taken care of. Way home. You know, I called the bank because we were going past the bank. Well, shout out to them, Cunningham First National. And said, I don't think we're going to get there before you close. And they said, well, we'll wait around a little bit. You know, when are you going to be there? This is about 30 minutes after normal closing time. No problem. And they had counter checks, waiting for me plus some cash. And well, you know, I asked, can you get, you know, take 500 cash out and have it ready for me. So they did that. I should have got more because, well, I got some clothes, well, you know, for me and for Dad and all that when I got home. And so I need a phone too. I'd already got the clothes and Scott's still driving me around this. No. He dropped me off at the Chevrolet dealership in Pratt, and they couldn't get the van done in a day, so. You know, they said, here's the keys to to the loaner. And of course the loaner air conditioner didn't work and it was hot. But, you know, that's the loaner. It's an old piece of junk there that it's not worth fixing. So that's the loaner for everybody. So I don't complain about that too much. I mean, that's expected. I had to put gas in it because I was, you know, driving back and forth 10 miles. But other than that, So then the van ready the next day. But Sue, I was talking about what Sue helped me out with, and then I went off on a whole tangent, sorry. But this was the second day I'd been home, and I told her, like, oh yeah, you gotta scrub up. And that was not fun. You know, it was, well, for a month, just getting my arms wet in a tub, was painful. And, you know, and then soap. Yeah, soap was a bad thing. You know, I tried that Dove. Dove's not any better. Oh, man. And then, you know, and going to the screen, they got like a loofah and stuff. So at least it would be faster. And not a fun experience. And so that first day I did it and drove myself to town. So even though I had some fun narcotics, I didn't think it was wise to use, you know, combine that in driving. So here I am, in Walmart after I'd been, you know, getting clothes for me and Dad. Cause, you know, I'd been to the hospital, had my wounds changed, had the dressings changed, went and saw Dad, and, well, you know, some basic stuff, and got clothes, didn't have enough cash left to get a phone, and, you know, that was a fiasco, because the first day, they wouldn't take the counter checks, because they can't scan them electronically. because there's no magnetic stuff. It's just like, you know, mailing labels stuck on a check. So, you know, I got home that night. The little house, like I said, was shared with my fraternity brother that's on our property. And he'd just been back from Vegas. He's like, well, here's $500. You can pay me back when you get to the bank. So that helped out. So the next day I went and got a phone. I still haven't told you how Sue helped me, but, so the next day I went and got a phone and, I got straight talk. So you got the little cards you got to do every month. And, I told the girl that I got a bunch of stuff closed, but I said, there's a phone and there's a straight talk card in there. She got the phone. She didn't ring the straight talk card through. So first I get home that night and it was kind of late before I got to anything and found out Straight Talk was offline. And then the next morning I tried to activate the card and, you know, nothing. The number wasn't any good. And I looked at my receipt and the card had never, you know, had never gone, had never, they hadn't charged me, but still, you know, that was another day without any kind of phone when I kind of sort of needed that kind of thing. So I went in, you know, I told him, okay, here's the phone. You know, I'm going to go buy a card and I'm going to hand it to you and you make the phone work. So, yeah, not like I'm perfectly capable of doing it, but no, I'm not leaving here till I know I can make a phone call on this thing. Now back to Sue. This is the first day. This is the day before I was just talking about. So she sees me in Walmart and, you know, buying stuff for me and Dad after I'd been through this whole painful thing of cleaning up and then, you know, driving myself into town to get the wounds changed and addressed. And then, you know, buying stuff. And I was not feeling very good at that time, but she asked, is there anything I can do for you? I said, yeah, since you mentioned it, you know, I about killed myself today, doing the cleanup that I need to do without antibiotics. It would really help if I could get somebody to, you know, drive me into town. So she did that for 2 days, and I'm afraid I didn't have much choice, but, you know, I had no other transportation. I kind of took advantage because I said, okay, you know, let's go out to Walmart after. He said, do you need to go anywhere else? And she was taking time off work. And, I need to go get stuff from Walmart for Dad and I. So, you know, I could tell after 2 days of that was an imposition. And I talked to my cousin Frank. I should have got a hold of him first because he's retired now and he has time. He agreed, whatever driving around you need to do, yeah, that's no problem. And then it was, you know, he took me into my appointments for 2-3 days. And then I had that first, appointment with this burn doctor in Wichita. And he said, why are you killing yourself doing this? You know, you don't need to do all that, painful stuff to yourself. And you can wrap your arms up at home and not have to worry about, you know, take your fun pills. And no, they're not. They're pain. It's not like you go flying around the room on them or nothing like that. I had something like that after abdominal surgery years ago. And I was like, it wasn't so much it took care of the pain, but it was like all of a sudden I didn't care that I was in incredible pain. And it's like, man, you know, I don't want those that you could get too used to doing that real quick. Okay. Well, not incredible pain, somewhat of pain. So, it's just all mellow and cool. Yeah. It's, no, I decided, you know, if I had anything like that around, that would just be way too convenient. So, but I could alleviate my discomfort through chemicals and not have to leave the house to change the dressings. Cause he's, you know, I said on that last beer podcast, he said, oh, I'll just get you some cheap terry cloth towels, wrap them around your arm and put an ace bandage on it. And that's all you need. So then I didn't need people to drive me around all the time. But I did need other things. I still need other things because I'm, you know, I found the last, you know, Dad's been home a couple days here, and I really don't think I'm going to have a whole lot of time, say, to do my harvest, you know, be 9 hours on a combine or anything. So I've already arranged with a neighbor that if I can't get things straightened out, and I don't think I will, before Milo and beans get ripe, that he'll harvest them for me. You know, if there's anything I can do to help him, you know, get my truck out there or something like that. But, yeah, I think the new reality is my main job is going to have to be working here with Dad most of the time. So, but I want to thank Dean and Darren and Bruce, who took care of some stuff that I really couldn't when I was in the hospital and those first several days of recovery. So I want to thank Frank for driving me around and, you know, recovering some of the documents that were in the fire safe in the house. Him and Steve did that one afternoon. Let's see. I want to thank Dave for giving me a place to put the documents that were, you know, that were in the fire safe and smelling moldy and stinky and not particularly welcome in the house where I was living with my fraternity brother. I want to thank Kevin for giving me a place to stay for 2 months. That wasn't, you know, he didn't really have to do that. And I'm sure there's other folks. You know, I want to thank everybody who contributed to the Fund Anything campaign online. Like I said in the last episode, wow, you know, it's the thought more, you know, but the money's good too. I won't say not, you know, I don't need that, but the thought, you know, so many people were out there thinking of me. And like I said, I've rediscovered a lot of friends that I thought that was, you know, that was part of high school, college, that was part of my life in the past. I hadn't made as much effort as I really should have to reconnect. And, you know, really, I've got to credit Facebook with that, you know. And, you know, I saw that movie, the Social Network. And the whole thing off of the movie was, well, you know, people want to be on Facebook because Facebook is cool. And I thought what Facebook had become and, you know, Facebook people putting, you know, pictures of their baby's poop on for their friends to look at. And that was my impression of Facebook again. And you know, how can that possibly be cool? But I found out, you know, I've got a lot of old friends that, you know, I thought maybe that, like I said, maybe as a past part of my life who have really had my back these last couple months. And you know what? You know what, folks? That is really cool. And that is why communities are made of people and not made of corporations. And, you know, whatever, you know, my opinion of the origins of Facebook and whatever are, you know, I have to say I'm glad it was there for me. So with that, once again, I've been your host, 5150, for Hacker Public Radio. Oh man, I've been talking for 40 minutes again. That's the second time tonight. People tell me to go to bed. Well, you can't tell me to go to bed. I can tell me to go to bed. Okay. So, this is me signing off for real this time. And I'll catch you the next time with, you know, another riveting episode of Hacker Public Radio.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.